Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 371 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
I like that energy, Ian. Keep it coming.
Keep pumping that heat.
I was pretty fired up a couple seconds ago. I'm luring the audience into a false sense of security. They don't know what's going to hit them.
I'm excited for that. It is Monday night, May 10th, and tonight we're going to talk a little Venom, There Will Be Carnage trailer, and then we're going to talk a little bit about who should own DC Comics, because we're not sure AT&T is the company for that. But before we determine the fate of DC Comics, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
You know who should own DC Comics?
McSauce.com.
You go to McSauce.com for all of your DC comics. You want Batman? McSauce.com. You want Superman? McSauce.com. We would do those characters justice. I don't know. Thinking about it, maybe people would fucking hate our versions of these characters, but I think there would be a subsection of comic book fans that would be really into the DC MCU.
I think we would be very bad at inviting new readers into the books.
But maybe we would retain the or bring back to life the lapsed readers. Maybe they would find religion once again.
I think there are ways to do it, but that's not this podcast.
True. But what is this podcast? And if you want to hear more stuff about this podcast and listen to all the episodes that we have, you can go anywhere that podcasts are hosted. Stitcher, Podomatic, Spotify, iTunes, any of those places, you can find our podcast. Long time ago, if you go back in the archives, we used to talk about comics every single week. We even had comic book podcast in the name. So if you really like comic books, we know a lot about them. Yeah, we still know a lot about comic books.
Well, yeah, we know a lot about comics. We don't know a lot about current comics.
No, we don't. We're not the comic book pit or anything like that. But we still have some residual comic book knowledge in our old bones. So check us out there if you want to respond to us or hit us up. We have a bunch of different social medias. You can go to Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube page. We have Facebook. Hit us up anywhere there. Or if you want to just send us an email, mcsauce@gmail.com. You can send it to us and we'll respond. Something that our friend Grimace of A Fireside Chat is doing that maybe, I don't know, maybe we should do, that I think is really cool. He has an anonymous inbox where you can go on. So this is a cheap plug for A Fireside Chat. If you go to his Twitter page, you can click on the pinned tweet and you can enter a anonymous request or bitch session or a suggestion to his podcast. Maybe that's something that we'll look into. We may have to steal that idea because I kind of like it. So a cheap plug for A Fireside Chat. You can also find A Fireside Chat on any place that you listen to podcasts.
So earlier today, we were texting around and we were like, oh no, what are we going to talk about? And thank God, Tom Hardy saved us with the trailer for Venom 2, or as it's
Venomer!
Known, Venom, there will be carnage. And because you can't have a Venom movie without carnage.
I thought you couldn't have a Venom movie without Spider-Man, but no. Yeah, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Schmider-Man.
Exactly. Spider-Man, Schmider-Man. We need carnage. That's really what Venom is all about.
And I was thinking about why I liked Venom and why Matt hates Venom. And I was like, maybe it would be if...
Because you like the beverage It's a, like...
You were already...
You piss Venom, so it oh, just translates.
Yeah, I do like that. But I was thinking maybe if they made a Superman movie, but he was just born on Earth and not from... He didn't come from Krypton and like they just completely changed his origin. Maybe
it would have to be a bizarro movie divorced from his relationship to Superman.
Right, but like I know that like one of Matt's chief issues with this portrayal of Venom is that it has nothing to do with Spider-Man. And Venom in the comics is part and parcel. You can't do Venom Brock. Without Spider-Man.
I mean, I don't know what version of Eddie Brock this is supposed to be, but this ain't Eddie Brock.
Right. So I was like, well, what would... like? I mean, I don't care about Venom. I have no comic ties to Venom. I have no emotional ties to Venom. So I can go into this and like, this is just a fun action comedy for me. But I understand... Matt, where I mean, you're just boring holes through me. I can feel your heat vision. But if they made a Superman movie and he never had heat vision, I'd be like, I hate Venom.
But you did like, I don't know though, because you really liked Man of Steel, where he was a fisherman.
Well,
in a short order cook in Alaska.
Yeah, but all of,
and I was like, this is stupid. And you're like, I love it.
All of that made sense to me. And the
because you're a mark.
The origin story is still there.
Ish.
What doesn't make sense is in the Christopher Reeve movie where, what, he just goes to the Fortress of Solitude for years and then he comes out and he's like, I know everything now. Like, how fucked up would that guy be spending like 12 years in complete solitude and then he comes out being
a Superman?
Is that
how long you think that he spent there?
He goes up there in high school and he doesn't come back until he's getting a job at the Daily Planet.
Clark, we thought you were dead.
So like it made sense in Man of Steel that he gets a lot of these life lessons. He understands how humans work, how people work, what his role in society is. Like, all that stuff made sense. But the point is, he still comes from... They didn't change the origin story in Man of Steel. He still came from Krypton, you know, last son on a rocket, lands on Earth, found by the Kents. They didn't completely cut a key part out of it like they did with Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, children of the 90s, we just did our console wars episode when we were talking about 90s nostalgia a little bit.
And where can thinking, the lovely folks find the console wars?
On patreon.com/mixsauce. You can find our console wars episode eventually because it's not going to be up for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and probably 3 weeks from.
But in the meantime, until you're waiting for console wars, you can find our entire backlog of Patreon episodes. And they're very good, I promise. You're really going to like them.
But just like Pappin's.
You're going to like it. Was Pappin's regional? Does anyone outside, you know, the Western Pennsylvania tri-state
I'm sure
know what
the
Pappin's
New York
is?
Listeners probably know about. I we've had this. We have definitely had the Pappin's talk before.
It's shocking. Like, so I guess this sort of ties into, you know, this 90s business, but... And you're going to like it. That is burned into my brain. I will never forget it.
That was the 80s, I believe.
Great marketing.
It's probably going to be my last words on this earth.
do you have anything? What are you seeing? What are you seeing, Paul? Is it the white light? And you're going to like it.
And you're going to light it. So we were talking about console wars and 90s nostalgia. And like you guys are like big like 90s guys. And, like, I also grew up in that time.
We lived it.
But
you know?
I feel like I don't have the same reverence for the things you guys do from that era. Like, because you guys were balls deep in a comic book. So you guys are like, fuck this version of Venom. It's, you know.
Because it's ridiculous, Paul.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But, what was he singing? You say tomato.
I loved it.
I loved it. fuck am I watching?
I have, so I watched it before, and I had the same reaction I feel like that Matt had. So I got to watch, I knew what was coming, so I got to watch Matt like, calmly react.
When they
but I could feel you be like, this is fucking shit.
Man, when they walk into the bodega and he's like, hello, Mrs. Chen.
It was ridiculous.
Oh my God. It's so funny, but
it's like, not.
I'm
it's
so
not.
Divorced from Venom and a lot of that nostalgia that, like, this is totally fine for me. Like, I'm not upset by any of this. Like, I don't have a problem with Venom.
So, Ian, how could you tell that I wasn't enjoying what I was seeing?
You, just your general vibe. I felt like your body... posture tensed up a little bit whenever the killer symbiote was singing goofy ass songs and making breakfast.
What's
terrible?
Was that Louis Armstrong? That is that what they were going for?
I don't know. Who could ever know?
Oh my God. I don't want to like blow my load here, Paul, but like, this looks really bad. This looks
so good.
Like the first movie, let's be honest, the first movie was a piece of shit. It was a piece of shit, Ian.
I did. So
it
here's
was a
the
piece
thing.
Of shit.
I think it was a piece of shit. There were moments that I did laugh in Venom. Should I be laughing in Venom? Probably not.
Right. Like one of the scariest comic book characters. The thing that like keeps Mary Jane up at night. She can't even look at Peter Parker in the black costume anymore because of Venom.
There's no Peter Parker or Mary Jane, so
that's true.
Who cares?
So we're all
this
good. So
comedy.
He might as well be fucking Carrot Top. So
I think that's the big split between you guys and me is that you guys are, you know, hardcore 90s Spider-Man guys. So like Venom is a thing to you. Venom is whatever to me. Like Venom may as well be, you know, Flash Thompson in space. With the suit or whatever. So,
in
like,
fairness,
this, I have no preconceived notion of Venom.
Who could know what Venom is today in 2021? It seems like anytime anything becomes popular enough, it then has to become the good guy. Like, nobody can ever stay bad. I'm surprised they haven't turned the Joker into a fucking hero by now. They did it with Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. It is surprising that they haven't.
Or did
every...
they? White Knight? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, not really. But every character has to have their moment in the sun to be a hero. My reaction to this was kind of like, I'm watching it and I'm like, this is a piece of fucking shit. But then at the end, I was like, I'm probably going to go to the theaters and see this fucking thing.
See, I'm
I
not...
bet I will. I bet I will.
When does this turd in the wind come out?
Ugh.
I fall sometime, I don't know, but like I was all in to like that whole intro scene where
it's so
like,
fucking stupid
and like Eddie Brock is just kind of like hostage and then he serves him breakfast and the whole time I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Ugh.
And then like the next scene it's like only in theaters and I'm like, ah fuck, I'm not gonna see this thing for like 2 years. Like, I'm not going to the theater to see this. I waited like 2 years to see the first Venom.
And it delighted you so much.
It did. It did. I really like this comedic take on it. It really tickles me. Like,
well,
I don't even want all the Carnage stuff. Just I want 2 hours of Eddie Brock shopping with Mrs.
Venom.
Chen.
Yeah. Venom 2. There
yeah,
will be laughter.
Want. That's what I want.
There will be yucks.
Lethal Venom. That's what we should call this fucking
It should
thing.
Be Lethal Venom. Well,
lethal
he was
protector.
Lethal Protector. Was he also Lethal Enforcer at some point?
Who, Venom?
No, that was a Sega video game.
Ah, shit.
With light guns.
I got it confused. Check out our Console Wars episode on Patreon.
So I was trying to look at the first Venom. Because I know how you guys feel about it. So I was trying to look at it from the sense of, well, if it's just a movie that has nothing to do with any preconceived notions you guys have about the character.
But it's still kind of stupid.
The movie, it's weird and silly, but like none of it doesn't have any huge plot holes. It doesn't, like, just have nothing. Like, it all makes sense. It's just a pretty simple story of alien tech gets out of government, finds Eddie Brock. Alien gets out of government building, latches on to Eddie Brock. He has to be, you know, the reluctant hero to fight the other aliens that also break out. Like, it's a pretty simple story, but it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that movie. The the problem you guys have is that Venom shouldn't be portrayed that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it also was really stupid. It wasn't entertaining.
I thought it was very entertaining.
Well, and like, you know what, Paul? You're probably right, because apparently it was entertaining enough for them to make another piece of shit.
I don't know if they thought it was going to... I'm willing to bet a lot of people were going because the first one was pretty funny. Like, I don't know if that was necessarily the tone that they meant to get from the first one, but when it all got cut together, that's what they had, and they were like, oh, shit, this did well enough, let's just do that again. And now, even in this trailer, it seems like they're doubling down a little bit with jokey nature between, you know, Venom and Eddie.
I don't know if that's the main takeaway either. Like, I think some people like that. Maybe you like that. But I think a lot of people liked the, you know, biting off heads and that kind of shit that happened
in the first
Venom. Which, clearly, they're going to get more of from this trailer. It looks like there will be headbiting.
See, I thought that we have moved past the point of comic books or comic book characters not being anything like they are in the comic books. Like, I thought we've established by now that is not an acceptable portrayal. Like, Mandarin in Iron Man 3. We learned that lesson. Don't do that.
Or
stop that.
The Catwoman movie.
Usually you have to go far back, like into the 90s or the early 2000s, to find these kind of like complete
characters in name only.
Yeah, characters in name only. And like, I'm trying to think of some other really egregious examples. Catwoman's probably the best example, but
I thought the Mandarin stuff was really dumb.
Dr. Doom in the original two Fantastic Four movies is like...
Or in the other Fantastic Four
movies. Yeah, I guess Dr. Doom, you know, blanket statement.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you hit on something really, really good there, Matt. Like, this Venom feels like a movie from a different time period to
me. It really does. I don't know if that's just the way that movie studios... frankly, that aren't, I guess, modern day Warner Brothers or Disney's Marvel make superhero movies. I don't know, because those movies from other studios, because now if you're a superhero movie, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be from Marvel or DC, and they're usually pretty close, at least recognizable characters. But when you go before Marvel Studios, so many movies were not getting the characters right. I'm trying to think,
The Punisher movies were really off.
Yeah, they...
Both of them were strange and didn't really embody Frank Castle, except for the Dolph Lundgren one from the 1989. That is a perfect movie. Punisher in the sewers.
It is probably better than Venom. No, let me rephrase that. It is better than Venom. I think the Dolph Lundgren Punisher is better than Venom.
It was at least closer to the Punisher than what Venom
is. At least the tone was right.
Yeah.
At the very least, Paul, the tone was right.
Yeah, and like, but I don't have a tone for Venom. Like, this is the right... This is the right tone for Venom for me.
He's like, this is my Venom.
Well, like, I mean, I've seen so many different versions of Venom. Like, there's the 90s Venom that you guys are talking about. And then there's, like everything since Secret Invasion that you, Marvel's you can done say that I've about, read, and I'm like,
you can say that about any superhero. That's not really a valid.
So Barry Allen,
no, I think, like, it is
think about Batman. How many different Batman have there been? Think about Superman. How many different Supermans have there been?
Batman since and the Superman same are frame? Always Batman and Superman,
but they're not though. Sometimes they're electric fucking gods, and sometimes they're not Bruce Wayne. Sometimes they're different Batman from a. Sometimes they're Azrael, a Batman that all like right, murders
if it's,
people.
If
so.
It's, if it's Clark Kent, if it's Bruce Wayne, Batman especially is pretty much the same Batman all the time.
It's a the same...
Yeah, the Superman thing was weird, but I feel like Venom has had so many different permutations over the years because he's a bad guy. They want him to be a good guy because the general public likes him so much. So they're trying to find different ways to make him threatening and scary, but still make him helpful and the anti-hero. Like, he's gone through like so many different, you know, just so many different versions of that character that regular that your like base heroes don't get because they're so well known you can't fuck with them. It's like how like Tom King can write the Vision book because do whatever you want with Vision, who cares? Like they wouldn't allow that with Captain America, but with Vision with Venom. Yeah, let's figure out Venom so that he's still popular and everyone still likes him, but he's not a bad guy because we can't sell a bad guy to kids.
But they clearly can, though. Like, they have. They've sold bad guys to kids forever. Joker.
He's somebody that... But he's always the bad guy. They never made Joker the hero. Harley's the hero.
Right.
She's not a bad guy anymore.
They've turned any semi-popular villain, they've turned into a hero to market to kids. I mean, like... How bad do the Suicide Squad actually feel? Like, they feel like imperfect heroes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't feel like bad guys. Harley Quinn is the obvious go-to. Catwoman. Isn't she supposed to be a fucking villain? Like,
yeah, I don't think so anymore, right?
She has evolved into just sort of... a good guy. Mm-hmm. Like she's more of a good guy than the Punisher.
A Catwoman?
Yeah.
I feel like Catwoman to me was never a bad guy because she was always kind of in a thing with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, all Bruce Wayne's women are kind of evil.
I mean, Talia for sure. I'm like, why are you having sex with that girl?
She's hot.
I was going to say if
yeah.
If Talia was right. real, you'd be like, take me to the desert.
Yeah, so like this version of Venom, like it's I don't know. I'm kinda in. But and same thing, like I don't know a lot about Carnage either, so maybe
I bet he's a jokester. I bet he's real funny
it
too.
I'm excited. Woody Harrelson.
A fucking cream pie and smashes it in Venom's face.
That's what
he's slipping on a banana peel. That would be just perfect.
You know what? Honestly, if they might as well fucking do that. Yeah, I would respect it if it was just a straight up comedy. Like, I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Like Jim Carrey shows up all of a sudden.
Fuck yeah, just do it. Just do it. Just have it be a comedy.
Like, Paul, you seem to get your panties in a wad over Barry Allen being a youngster.
A little too funny.
A little too funny. That was like earth-shatteringly unacceptable. But like making Venom
was Venom ever
different.
Funny? Do you feel like he was ever humorous?
I don't ever remember reading anything even remotely along the lines of a turd in the wind in any Spider-Man or Venom comic ever. And I never read them and thought, you know what would really set this writing apart? More turds.
Well, this
never
is,
happened.
I mean, this is the exact point that I'm making. That's why you don't like this Venom because the same way I don't like Ezra Miller's Flash.
It's a complete departure from the character. No, yours is a slight tick one way or the other. This is a complete departure from a character. So it's very different.
Yeah, and I understand that. I know why you guys don't like it. I like it. Like, I don't fucking care that it's a departure because I don't fucking care about Venom. just like you guys don't care about Barry Allen, so Ezra Miller is fucking awesome.
We're just not affronted by him being a little bit more funny than you would prefer.
Well, I think Ezra Miller is much different than the traditional Barry Allen. I don't think it's just like, you know, a couple jokes here and there. Yeah, it's not the complete 180 of Venom being a fucking nightmare monster and being, you know, the fucking jokey, funny guy to Eddie Brock's treatment. It's very, very different.
Didn't you find Aquaman to be kind of acceptable?
No.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you liked that.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I thought the Aquaman movie was good in its own right. I thought, because it really, I don't know what episode it was, but you can go back and listen to it. My review of Aquaman was everything in it is perfect except Aquaman. Like, they lean so much into the lore, into Atlantis, into the population, who the characters are. Everyone is great except Aquaman. So, yeah, I'm not... I don't like Jason Momoa's Aquaman. Like, they should have made Patrick Wilson Aquaman. Because that's Aquaman. Mm-hmm. He also could have played Barry Allen, standard blonde white guy.
Well,
what's either of your relationships to Carnage?
Same as Venom. I mean, he was part of.
Is he held in high esteem?
Yeah, kinda. I mean, like from back in the day. I mean, there was a really big storyline that we both read in the probably what about 94 called Maximum Carnage. That I really don't remember any details about it, but I remember liking it at the time.
I was surprised that this movie wasn't called Maximum Carnage because that storyline was so big. There was a video game.
Watching the trailer, it seemed like they were really. It was a tale of two movies. One, mm-hmm. they're trying to add like this kind of scary element with, Woody Harrelson's Cletus Cassidy, who is like a perfect choice for like a crazy serial killer as portrayed in Natural Born Killers.
I thought he looked real, like, of the things that I thought looked good in this, like. The wig that they gave him was much better.
Yeah.
Just his like facial structure looks like Cletus Cassidy to me. Yeah, so like I was kind of in on him and his like sort of haunted portrayal there. I thought that was good.
You know that it's gonna be slathered over with yuck yuck jokes the entire time because that's the way the trailer went. It's like cool, kind of creepy Woody Harrelson joke. Creepy Woody Harrelson joke. Another joke. It kept flipping back and forth. And, like, I don't know what kind of tone this is. Maybe this trailer had all the jokes. And everything else is going to have a little more of a serious bent. Or maybe not.
I feel like this needs to be a McSauce field trip. We need to return to the theaters and see Venom 2.
When does it...
Venom Boogaloo.
When it comes out?
No.
Except it's in September. So September. By that time, if the world hasn't ended, we will go to the theaters and Paul will laugh and he will laugh.
Like popcorn will be flying everywhere.
Around and we'll have to, you know what's
like
going to
be? He'll be kicking the chair in front of him and somebody will be
He's going to spill his drink on somebody's head. And it's just like, ah!
Somebody's going to fucking cut his head off.
And it's going to be us.
No. Like you can, if you're enjoying the movie, that's in bounds.
We're gonna make some new rules. 2021 new rules. Theater justice.
Did you have to wear your mask the whole movie?
I didn't have to, but I did when I was.
I mean,
not.
Who would know anyway?
When I wasn't chomping on popcorn and drinking my drink and yelling at kids.
How many seats away were you from people?
There was somebody sitting right next to me.
Jesus. Fucking
Christ. I mean, it was my wife. The closest people to me and Trace were probably four seats away.
Are they limiting people in theaters? Because I feel like watching some hockey games the last month, I'm like, oh man, like there are people one seat away from.
Yeah, it didn't feel like there was a limit to how many people were in the theater. It felt like a normal theater experience, but nobody was on top of it.
I wonder if today, if like the Avengers 5 came out or whatever number they're on, if it would be sold out. Like
especially now, like that a lot of people have had their second vaccination. I think that we're getting back to normal theater going. I think we will. We just don't have the movie yet. Hopefully in September, whenever fucking Venom 2, the Venoming, comes out.
There will be comedy.
Venom's Vacation. Venom and
Venomer.
Yeah, whenever this comedic fucking masterpiece comes out.
National Lampoon's Venom Vacation.
Venom's Vacation. Whenever that comes out, I think that audiences will be ready to return to the theaters, just fucking laugh and laugh. Actually, it's going to be earlier than that. People are ready already. I don't know what the next big blockbuster would be, though, on the calendar that people would...
After that or before that?
Before that. So, what's the next
Black Widow comes out in, next month, right?
Yeah, so I guess...
In a couple weeks? Oh, July? I have no idea when it actually comes out.
I thought it was July. I don't know.
Yeah, so people are ready to go. They just need the movie. They need the right movie. They need the right mix of symbiote and fucking yucks to go and check it out.
Paul, why don't you give me a little polynomics for this thing?
Well, Matt, I do agree that the trailer felt a little uneven. Like I was probably content being like, fuck all the Carnage stuff. Just give me
the comedic
Brock
duo Venom, of our day.
Venom, there will be cream pies and banana peels.
Yeah, just give me Eddie Brock trying to get through his day, having this symbiote not kill people. I don't think it's gonna be this movie that like blows my socks off, but I think I'm probably gonna enjoy it. Like I enjoyed the first one, so I think my excitement
is through the roof.
I'm pretty excited, and like I think
you shouldn't
be
ashamed. Don't let our venom.
Oh, I'm not
affect you.
I think the reason I'm more excited about it is because you guys hate it so much. So my excitement is going to be an 8.
It's fucking bonkers.
So yeah, I really like that first one. I was like, holy shit.
Do you give that first one an 8?
No, I'd probably... no, but...
No, a 9!
No, I like...
McSauce listeners, Paul's birthday is coming up. Buy him multiple copies of Venom.
I'm going to give it a 7. I quite enjoyed it.
I want people to buy him Steelbox. I want people to buy him DVD Special Edition. I want, the Venom version with the one that comes with the red nose. Like, I want all of them.
But my expectation is, I'll say a 6. I don't think it's quite going to be as novel as the first one.
Won't live up to those lofty heights of the first
one. I don't think it is. I don't think it's going to give me, quite the same. I think some of it is, but as a whole, I don't think so.
Ian, what did this trailer do for you?
Oh, my God. Like I said earlier, I was watching it the whole time, and I was like, this is a flaming piece of shit. And then I was like, fuck, I'm going to go see this. I'm definitely going to go see this. My excitement, I'm not excited for this. It's a 4. And I don't expect it to be good either. So I'm going to give it a 4. So 44.
Matt.
I'm not excited either. unless I get forced to go by you people.
We're definitely going to make you go see it, though, in the theaters.
I am, well, going to the movie with you guys excites me more than going to see this fucking movie. But, God, I'm a 2 for excitement. Yeah. This looked bad. Expectation, 22. This looks terrible. It looks terrible. Terrible.
Oh,
I haven't
I'm
been
so
this
excited.
Sure that a movie was going to be bad since the Fantastic Four.
And you nailed it.
The Michael B. Jordan one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, wasn't
remember,
the first half of that really good?
Not really good, but it was surprisingly better than we thought.
And some of the original, like the first couple trailers had me, man. I was like, oh, this looks cool and dark. But holy shit, did that not come to fruition. It was bad. Yeah, I mean, everything about this, I was just like, this is so bad. But inside of me, I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie. How can I sit maybe, here and be like, it's so bad, but it's like, meh.
Maybe
I definitely will be there.
Holding Spider-Man back from this trailer, but
he's not going to be in it.
I know, dude. I know.
Would you be excited? What would you give it a 2-point swing?
Yeah, I would think if Spider-Man's in a fucking Venom movie, yes, of course.
But this Venom movie.
Well, yeah, right.
Like, oh, look out, Mr. Brock! There's a banana peel right on that ledge.
Is that all Tom Holland talks?
Yes, he does.
Spider-Man's going to be all serious. No jokes whatsoever with this version.
Oh, my God.
Someone's got to be the straight guy.
That's right.
Yeah, how exciting would that be if Spider-Man, you know, famously a yuckster, was just like Batman in these movies? I would love that. That would be great. If you're going to do it, just fucking do it.
Do
and
whatever.
Make everybody, just whoever,
yeah,
whoever, who could fucking care? Who could care about these characters in the source material? Nobody could.
Venom's the Chris Farley to Peter Parker's David Spade.
There we go.
That's right. Hopefully David Spade plays Spider-Man in Venom 2.
Spider Spade.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Right? Are we not done yet? We had to cut time in the middle, and I have no idea how long this episode is going right now. So.
We're 36 minutes. Do you want to do a 36-minute
episode?
Oh,
we still have time. Oh, thank God.
Still have time.
We get to roll into
Christmas hasn't come. There's still
time. There's time. Merry Christmas, every Venom.
Well, I mean, a Christmas Carol.
That's
a Christmas
the next
Carol is a little too serious for Venom.
Venom 3.
A Venom Carol.
A Venom Carol. And God bless us, everyone.
Right. Venom
God
is haunted by the ghosts of Spider-Man and Carnage.
And the Vulture.
And the Vulture.
Isn't there a white Venom at some point?
Yeah, he's anti-Venom. I can't wait for Venom 3.
Yes.
Anti-Venom.
I'm so excited.
All the dumb shit.
So, a lot of comic companies, a lot of comic ownership companies have done a lot of dumb things. It seems like AT&T isn't quite the company that should be owning DC comic books.
And famous storyteller and publisher, AT&T.
Yeah. We were, right. You know, Matt was having a talk with his buddy, and they were like, hey, like Disney... Disney makes sense to own Marvel. They tell stories. You know, they're in the business of, would you say, Matt, they make joy?
Right, they're in the business of making joy.
But AT&T is in the business of
making phones.
Right.
Which is in some ways the opposite of joy.
So why does AT&T own DC Comics other than just
In 2018, AT&T bought Warner Media, who owns DC. So there you go. Now the phone maker owns Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and they don't know what to do with these fucking characters. They certainly don't want to publish comic books.
They're like, put them on a phone.
But they want the IP. They just don't want to make comics. Well, fucking let somebody buy DC Comics that will actually make comics.
But
so how would that work
who
out?
Could possibly afford that? Oh, Disney could afford it.
But can we let comics die so long as the IP is owned and still lives on and cartoons and movies and
that's AT&T's
other media?
AT&T's approach. That's what they want to do.
Wouldn't the IP die as well if they weren't always in the public, you know, sphere?
If they weren't fueled by comic books? I don't know. I mean,
you think comic books are in the public sphere these days?
I mean, they're constantly producing the stories that are mined for the entertainment that we watch all the time. That's the benefit of having comic books, is that you're constantly being given pitches for movies and TV shows and cartoons and things like that. You don't have to go with any of that stuff, but that's what the benefit is.
I don't think the IP would die, but I think you'd get certainly crappy, virtually Venom-esque versions of these characters.
Superman would be out there like, potato, potato.
They made the Green Hornet movie with no real source material in the last 30 years, but they still made a movie about it. And guess what, Paul? Who could possibly care?
Yeah, so I don't think it's necessarily what comics are currently doing as much as it is there are currently stewards of the IP. There are people guiding what all these characters should be doing and what they look like and how we're bringing them into the future. And that's sort of the default job of the comic writers and creators. Without the comics, I guess that goes away. And then it becomes a case of, like, Green Hornet. Well, he's green and he's a hornet. Just put it on screen.
Yeah, I mean, we even see, you know, not to continue to bash.
And then the fans are like, wait, why is he a bug?
It's like, hey, he's a bug, kids. We cannot depend on Hollywood writers to write these stories. That's Marvel doesn't depend on them. They pick from the best comic book storylines and writers, and they mash them up and put them together. But that's all they're doing is picking and choosing, you know, oh, I like this title this kind of story. Yep. And that's what comic books provide, is a constant storyboard. So I think it would be, without that storyboard constantly running in the background, then we're handing this over to writers that don't know what the fuck these characters mean, because there are no stewards of the brand.
You're literally going to get a Venom that is unrecognized
every time out.
Every time.
Yeah.
And when they get to a character, Paul, that you do like, I bet you're not going to be quite as forgiving.
Yeah, I definitely haven't been forgiving about certain characters in the DC stable. Even though there are still DC comics written about these characters.
So the question is, clearly AT&T, they don't want to make comic books. They want to own Batman and they want to own Superman, but they don't want to make comic books. They don't see, obviously they don't listen to the McSauce podcast. They don't see the benefit in comic books. Well, let somebody rich come along that does give a shit about comic books and could afford to buy DC Comics. I literally can't think of another company outside of Disney, and that makes for a very interesting dynamic. What if Disney bought DC Comics? What in the heck does that do to the comic book landscape? What does that do to their own stable of existing characters? Do we suddenly get Batman integrated with Spider-Man, or are they going to try to keep those things segregated with maybe like a more frequent crossing over? How would that even work?
I think that they would have to keep them separate. But then, to your point, you know, maybe there's more frequent crossing over. Maybe it's like interleague play in baseball. And every once in a while, you get one of those big crossover events. Maybe that's what replaces the normal event, you know, the summer event where the X-Men are fighting the Avengers. Maybe every 2 years you have the Avengers fight Justice League or whatever.
What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. It was a good point. Trust me on that.
Not better than my interleague baseball analogy, though. Whenever man, I can't even do it because I don't know who plays in the National League or the fucking American League.
You mean on the rare occasion, you know,
the
A's,
Mariners,
the A's
play,
will play the Dodgers?
Sure. Yes. Yes. Or the
White Sox will play the Cubs.
Yes. Or the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go. Thanks for jogging my memory. Who could ever care about baseball? Who owns them? AT&T baseball?
That's why all the teams are unrecognizable.
What a fucking shit story.
The Cubs are cooking Eddie Brock breakfast. The Cubs don't cook breakfast. They're very serious about lunch.
But...
you dummies.
Paul.
Matt.
You are our resident DC fan. What? How would you feel if you woke up tomorrow and it turns out Disney bought DC Comics? What would that do for you?
I think it would bring me joy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, why? Like, I know we've had some ups and downs with Disney owning Star Wars, but Disney's done a pretty good job with Marvel, and I feel like there is.
Have they?
I mean,
what Marvel comics are you reading again?
Daredevil.
Uh huh. That's
all.
The list. Okay.
That's it.
Oh, sounds like they're doing a bang up job.
But I don't read comics anymore.
Because they're not making good comics.
Yeah, but if Disney buys DC, they're gonna make good movies and TV shows. Like,
aren't
that's where my interest is
shows?
Now. Like, I'm not.
They're already making good TV, right?
Who, DC?
Yeah.
Ah, man. Legends of Tomorrow is my favorite DC show, and I kind of like it in spite of itself because none of those characters are recognizable to anything. Like, most of those characters don't even exist. Besides Commander Steel and Constantine, they're not. Like, the bulk of them aren't even real DC Comics characters. But the show is so weird and funny and well put together that doesn't matter. Superman and Lois is fine. I hate that kid that plays Jordan. Just his fucking face makes me want to punch it into oblivion.
Wow. I hate all kid actors. I watch The Equalizer, the new show, The Equalizer, and there's, you know, Queen Latifah. She has a daughter, and I fucking hate the daughter. These teenagers are always fucking up our main characters' lives. Same thing with Superman and Lois. Those fucking Kent kids just need to get killed. Lex Luthor needs to just kill them.
I like the kid that plays Jonathan, but something about Jordan, I don't fucking like that kid, and I think it's the kid because they've done some featurettes that I watched, and even when just the kid is talking as himself, just as an actor about this character, I'm like,
boo.
I fucking hate this. Something about this kid, I don't like this kid. But yeah, like if Disney bought DC, and what would they start doing with the comics? Like, I certainly wouldn't care. I don't really buy comics. And if what they're doing with Marvel is any indication, then, well, I'm not buying Marvel comics either. So clearly what Marvel's doing, I don't care about that either.
What would be a good company? Not a good company, but maybe an alternate company over Disney.
I think Disney would be great for movies and TV. But like if you guys are talking about like who's gonna make DC Comics great again, well,
what if Netflix bought DC?
So they bought Millerverse, World, and just this weekend they put together Jupiter's Legacy from Image Comics.
Netflix isn't
but
driving
they,
creative. They're
no,
just
but
a
they
publisher.
Could. But they could. They could be the, you know, they could drive creative for that brand. I mean, Amazon does something.
They seem to be kind of like the Image Comics of the streaming world, where they just let the creators do whatever. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll put it on.
But but if Netflix owns them and that's what they're doing, isn't that kind of the same thing with that AT&T's doing? That they would do without the comics to fall back on? Like, there's no real rules. It's like,
but at
oh,
least,
hey, Edgar Wright, do whatever you want to do with
Netflix
Superman.
But at least Netflix has their business model is currently in storytelling, whereas right. AT&T's is just selling phones. I think there's a difference
right,
there, like the kind of creatives that you get in different parts of the organization that make a big difference.
It would have to be a brand new thing, because Netflix isn't involved in creation. Like with Stranger Things, that's all Duffer Brothers. All the Masters of the Universe, She-Ra stuff that they roll out, that's going to be, that's Mattel.
Original.
With Voltron, that's DreamWorks. No, they produce it. They're like Diamond for these publishers.
There's
Netflix
no
doesn't go in and
Netflix
say,
original?
Hey, Duffer Brothers, we think the story should go this way.
Do you think Disney does that with Marvel currently?
I don't think so, because I think Marvel already had such a great built-in base that they don't need to do that. But I think they've done that with Star Wars.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
No, you think that's all Kathleen Kennedy?
I think that's Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish Disney would step in and be like, yeah, okay,
so
guys.
Maybe Netflix would come in and have the wherewithal to guide things correctly. But so far, they don't do that. All of the stuff that are Netflix originals, they're essentially publishers. They don't dictate what the creators do. The creators have full control.
What about NBC Universal? Would that be a good one?
I feel like NBC and CW are connected. So, yeah, probably.
I don't think they are. NBC
Someone
and CW?
Owns CW. I think it's NBC.
CW used to be the WB, so I don't know if that's
maybe.
Warner Media. I don't know. But
no, you're right, because Nancy Drew is on HBO Max, Umbrella Company.
Well, NBC Universal is separate from AT&T and Warner Media.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be kind of their own thing. So Universal, obviously, you have Universal Studios. Right now, they have all those fucking Marvel rides and shit in their park. They should kick them all out and put in the Batman ride and the Superman ride.
They should just paint over them and be like, the Superman ride, now it's Venom.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Maybe that. I'm just trying to think of these giant, like, behemoth-type companies that could have the...
I mean, Amazon has the oomph, and they have...
Oh, Amazon, that's another one.
They
have
their origins in book selling, not publishing, but,
right.
I mean, at least... If I had to pick a Goliath company...
How about Apple?
I mean...
No?
They're not good. They're not good storytellers. Like, have you watched a lot of things on Apple TV Plus?
No, but what I have watched, I liked.
I liked Mythic Quest. I thought that was really good. But
yeah,
then
I really
everything else that I've taken a look at or even, like, thought about watching... hasn't really done it for me. So I don't think Apple would be the one that I would pick.
But are we talking about to create shows
and
movies or
to like
make
take,
comic books?
We're talking about a parent company that could possibly steward these comic books. We're limited because we live in a fucking oligarchy that we only have four big companies now. So
who's gonna buy?
Can
DC?
You think
Google,
of another
Apple, Amazon?
Yeah, is Google? Yeah, so let's move on. Google, Tesla. Could Tesla make fucking?
They make the Batmobile.
That's what. So we're kind of stuck because we're thinking of it in realistic terms. Who has enough money to buy the property, and then further down the line, how could they be stewards of the comic books? To me, Amazon is like probably, if I had to pick one out of these companies, it's Amazon.
I feel like you pick the biggest one that would just let whoever's currently running DC do whatever they do. Someone that's going to be like, oh, wait, we're spending how much on DC? I have that in my wallet right now. Who fucking cares? Let them do whatever they want.
Well, who would you pick then?
I don't know, fucking Amazon, right? I mean, they're the biggest one, right?
Do you understand what you just said?
Yeah,
to
but
me?
you were just presenting it like I'm watching all these shows and these shows and these shows, but you weren't talking about comics, and that's what I said earlier when you were
upstairs. About books. I talked about books, and at least they have some kind of foundation in selling books. I would imagine that they know about, or at least some division of Amazon would retain the ability to like understand what taste is and be able to sell to people. Is it better than Google? Maybe by a little bit. Is it better than Apple? Probably. Is
Amazon
it better?
Amazon already owns Comixology, so they're in the
built
the game.
In. Yeah, so like they have some kind of semblance. If we're talking about these big companies in a realistic way, Amazon's the one.
Yeah, and I mean that's a different place I'm coming from, where I'm just like, who's just gonna let like Jim Lee and whoever just do whatever they want? Because like I feel like over the last 5 years we've heard, you know, stuff about Marvel, like we need to pay for making comics and comics aren't profitable. Same thing with Warner Brothers and DC. We're making comics. DC comics aren't profitable. Like, just give them to the biggest company that doesn't fucking care about money, that can just give the people at DC a paycheck and do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably Amazon.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And it's a bonus that Amazon also does book things.
They do book things. They have, I mean, they are invested a lot in literature and Audible, mm-hmm. to Matt's point, Comixology. So I think, honestly, that would
I feel
make a
like
ton of sense.
Wonder Woman would be their flagship character.
Yeah, Amazon?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Not Lex Luthor?
It's not called Megalo. Or you know what? You know, they're... Probably would be.
Maybe Microsoft will buy them. Microsoft in the Xbox game, they're about entertainment.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is another big company that could buy them. I don't know. I think Amazon is probably the right
would
thing.
Would you rather...
That's how we would get Lex Luthor, the hero character, because Lex Luthor currently owns Amazon. So he would just be like, I mean, Superman, Schmooperman.
I saw some
Jeff
some,
Luther.
I saw some tweet today with the you know Omni-Man and Homelander, and was like, of course, like this is the guy that's shepherding two shows about why Superman is bad.
That is kind of funny.
So, Paul, would you prefer if Amazon was the owner and steward of DC Comics over, AT&T and Warner Media? Do you think it needs that kind of a shakeup?
I don't know. Like I like Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has so much, you know, good stuff already built into it. I feel like they should be able, like, I mean, AT&T is so big.
So maybe
shouldn't they be able to just distance themselves and be like, who the fuck cares? Who is Jim Lee? Yeah, let him do what he wants. Like, I mean, shouldn't that be what AT&T
I guess,
can
you know,
do?
Before this all went down, I had no idea AT&T was so powerful.
Yeah, like, I didn't
fuck
either.
Who knew? Like, I would think that Warner Brothers would be buying 10 AT&Ts.
I have Verizon, I guess. Like, I'm the Pittsburgh Pirates of phone stuff.
I have T-Mobile. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Ian, who do you have?
I have Verizon as well.
Verizon. Yeah.
Small market franchises here. Teeny tiny Verizon.
I don't think Verizon is small.
I don't think Verizon
That's
is
who
ready
should
to
buy,
buy
DC.
DC.
Verizon.
Who's going to buy Image? Is that T-Mobile? No.
T-Mobile. Cricket will buy Image.
Cricket's going to buy Boom.
Oh, boy.
So all the phone carriers are going to buy all the comic publishers.
Amazing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so, well, go ahead, Matt.
It's a whole bunch of pie-in-the-sky nonsense anyway. You know what realistically could happen, though? AT&T is like, you know what? We're not publishing comics anymore. License this shit out to somebody else that wants to do it. That I think you very well might see, because it's been, I think, clearly demonstrated there is a shift in the last few years that shows that this company ain't interested in comics, with the bizarre shakeups with distributors and it's just very clear.
Didn't they have DC like Fan Nation last year or something like
Fandom.
That? Fandom, and didn't they fire a bunch of creators right before?
Yep.
So Jim Lee had to go up there and put on a happy face as he was removed from his current job and all his friends got fired, and it just the awareness of what they were doing doesn't seem like it was high priority.
It was so weird. Mm-hmm. The timing was wacky. Mm-hmm. that they would try to have a fan event after, I don't even know what percentage of people they got rid of, but it was significant.
Oh yeah.
It was significant.
It was one of those days on Twitter where you see a lot of tweets saying, hey, I love working with this person and that person and blah, blah, blah. And I felt like my entire feed the week before Fandom was all just hey, got let go from DC, blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you that as a fan, it didn't inspire a lot of confidence to walk into that dome. I was like, yeah, I'll just stay outside.
Well, Ian, do you have any parting thoughts on our fictional make-believe sale of DC Comics to companies that'll never happen?
I honestly, mulling it over, I would be really excited for Amazon to purchase them. I think that they could...
Away from Warner. That would
away
be weird.
From Warner, yeah.
That would be weird. Because... I mean, I know that DC Comics existed pre-Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. but, God, they've been connected to them for so long, it's tough to even consider that they're not under that umbrella.
Think about the space that we were in, say, let's go back to 2010.
Yeah.
How weird would it be that Disney would have Star Wars?
It's still weird.
Yeah. And then on top of that, then also Marvel and all those characters, and we would have an app where we would go in, do I want to watch Spider-Man or Luke Skywalker? I don't know. I guess Mickey Mouse. I don't know. It would be weird, but it's not inconceivable.
Paul, I think that's going to do it for us.
Absolutely, 100%. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Max Zell.
We'll see you next time.